Good afternoon, it's 5:06 and 60 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Hallie Adams.
It'll be a good representation of the talent we have and what we've been able to accomplish.
Moorhead State's Jazz Ensemble is preparing for a concert Monday.
The State Labor Department got an update from Kentucky's Unemployment Task Force.
The ACLU is suing the State Department of Corrections.
The City of Lexington is moving forward on how to spend American Rescue Plan dollars.
An FDA panel and local medical professionals are recommending the COVID vaccine for children aged 5 to 11.
In sports, MSU soccer is playing in the first round of the OVC tournament tonight.
A 40% chance of showers and patchy fog after 11 p.m. this evening, otherwise cloudy with a low around 50 degrees. We'll have a look at your region's extended weather forecast after this news. Moorhead State University's Jazz Vocal Ensemble will host their second ever fall concert on Monday. Typically, the Jazz Ensemble hosts their concerts in the spring semester, but due to the pandemic, that hasn't been a possibility. Dr. Roosevelt Escalante Jr. is the Assistant Director of Choral Activities at MSU. He says the pandemic robbed opportunities from a lot of students.
Usually, we do our big concert in the spring. And we have several other events that we usually do in the fall. But because of COVID, a lot of my students who've been singing with me for multiple semesters were kind of robbed of a year. And because they're music educators, I have almost half of the group moving on next semester to do student teaching. So they won't be returning.
The concert takes place Monday evening, November 1st, at 7:30 p.m. at the Duncan Recital Hall in Baird Music Hall. The event is free and open to the public.
Kentucky lawmakers received another update on the status of the unemployment insurance from the Labor Cabinet officials at a task force discussion in the State Capitol Annex. One of the biggest problems facing the state during the pandemic was the tens of thousands of unemployment claims, which overwhelmed an annex computer system put into use in the late 1970s. Secretary Jamie Link says while it will take up to 2 years to install the new UI system, the cabinet is making short-term progress.
But in the interim, I would add, we are taking every measure we possibly can to improve upon the existing system with fraud prevention measures and other efficiencies that we can find.
According to WKYT, the new computer system will cost more than $47 million.
The American Civil Liberties Union of Kentucky and the Department of Advocacy filed a lawsuit against the State Department of Corrections on Monday. WMKY's Cassidy Stearman has the story.
The lawsuit claims started in Kentucky when certain jails began confiscating incoming legal mail, taking a photocopy and delivering the photocopy to the inmate. Lawyers tell WYMT those letters can contain confidential information, which should only be viewed by an attorney and their client. The lawsuit urges the photocopies are not always complete, and the original letter is not secured afterwards, meaning anyone could read the private information. The ACLU members say it is a violation of the right to legal counsel without interference by the state as granted by the 14th Amendment. For WMKY News, I'm Cassidy Stearman.
The Lexington Fayette Urban County Council is considering 42 different proposals for how to spend American Rescue Plan Act money. Council members discussed those proposals on Tuesday, which totaled more than $150 million. Among the 42 proposals, council voted to move two forward, one including allocating $1 million to the city's hospitality industry, and another involved setting aside $10 million for affordable housing. According to WKYT, Councilman James Brown says affordable housing is a serious need in the community that needs to be addressed as soon as possible.
We could wait a week, but I think the public is tired of waiting on us to do something.
The council decided to vote on another 40 proposals after listening to public comments.
The Food and Drug Administration panel recommended the Pfizer vaccine be authorized for use in children age 5 to 11 on Tuesday. Dr. Derek Jones is a family physician in Russell. He says he's been paying close attention to the COVID-19 vaccine rollout. Jones tells WSAZ parents and physicians should be excited about the news, but some may have concerns.
We're seeing myocarditis in COVID patients, where we are seeing reduced ejection fractions, even in younger patients.
Myocarditis is an inflammation to the heart and a possible side effect of the vaccine. However, Jones says there were zero cases in children ages 5 to 11 during the trial, and they would need a larger sample for it to be considered a problem.
Several attorney generals around the country are against a federal vaccine mandate, and the Commonwealth's AG is among them. WMKY's Keneally Roberts has the story.
Kentucky's Attorney General Daniel Cameron says he believes the federal government's COVID-19 vaccine mandate for federal contractors should be stopped. WDRB reports Cameron joined 20 other attorneys general in a letter to President Joe Biden. They claim the mandatory vaccine requirement adds more strain on businesses and agencies who are already dealing with a worker shortage and supply chain issues. The AGs say companies, like Americans, should be able to make their own decision about getting the vaccine. For WMKY News, I'm Keneally Roberts reporting.
We'll have a look at more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Gateway Regional Arts Center in Mount Sterling and the 5th Annual Howl at the Moon, 7 p.m. on Friday, October 29th. Halloween crafts, food, refreshments, and live music by Luna and David from Luna and the Mountain Jets. Food by Two Cousins Food and Catering, powered by LG&E and KU Foundation. Details online at grackentucky.org. Howl at the Moon at the Gateway Regional Arts Center, 7 p.m. on Friday, October 29th.
A rally was held in downtown Hazard to support Mayor and High School Principal Happy Mobilini after recent pictures and videos circulating from a Hazard High School assembly have caused a stir across the country. The event, called a man pageant, has left parents and locals with mixed reactions to the publicity the story has gotten as a result. Resident Charlene Crace tells WYMT it was unacceptable and should never have happened.
I was absolutely disgusted. I have never seen someone in a school position, a school place, a school environment have half-naked kids, you know, dancing on grown-ups.
Most members of the crowd at the rally said the principal has a charitable nature and is very popular with students. Meanwhile, State Department of Education officials released comments on that situation in Hazard. WMKY's Cassidy Stearman has the story.
Officials say they are aware of a school assembly where male students dressed as women were photographed dancing on or near school administrators. The photos were posted on the school's athletic page and then taken down after national attention. The KDE have been in contact with local school district officials regarding the incident. According to WYMT, the chief communications officer with the Department of Education, Tony Tatman, says superintendents are required to report instances of teacher misconduct to the Educational Professional Standards Board. She says after a report is made, then an investigation can be opened to determine if a teacher violated the code of conduct. Any Kentuckians can also file a complaint to the EPSB if they believe a certified educator has violated the code of ethics. For WMKY News, I'm Cassidy Stearman.
Ford recently announced that it will spend $5.8 billion to build electricity battery plants in Kentucky. Since then, Toyota is now considering looking into the state for its own expansion in electric cars. State leaders say the investment makes it clear that Kentucky is currently a big competitor in attracting big companies. Governor Andy Beshear says investing in more sites like the Ford mega site is the key to making the state attractive to big businesses.
We can make things as build ready as possible because we believe that one of our best selling points is being first to market, meaning we can get them up and running faster.
Beshear believes this allows Kentucky to market itself better.
The suspect in two armed robberies in Mount Sterling has pleaded guilty. WMKY's Sarah Mead has the story.
The U.S. Attorney's Office says Larry Crump pled guilty to robbery, bank robbery, possession of a firearm in furtherance of a violent crime, and being a convicted felon in possession of a firearm. According to WKYT, in his guilty plea agreement, Crump admitted to robbing the cash and check in Mount Sterling on November 16, 2020, and the People's Bank of Mount Sterling on November 20, 2020, at gunpoint. Crump is scheduled to be sentenced on January 21st. He faces a minimum of 7 years in prison and a maximum of life imprisonment. For WMKY News, I'm Sarah Mead.
Taking a look at the region's extended weather forecast for tomorrow, patchy fog before 9 a.m. Showers likely in the afternoon hours, otherwise mostly cloudy with a high near 58. Saturday night, a 30% chance of showers, mainly before 10 p.m. Mostly cloudy with a low around 47. Sunday, partly sunny with a high near 59. Sunday night, partly cloudy with a low around 42. And for your Monday, mostly sunny with a high near 58.
On our feature segment today, commentator Dr. John Modaff files his investment in recalcitrance, posing as augury.
I started to say something about how Lincoln, despite his being the wrong gender, the wrong color, the wrong height, errant in philosophy, too skinny, ugly as homemade soap, and what's with the hat, that Lincoln might still have had been right about one thing. You can't borrow your way into prosperity. That's a paraphrase, as it turns out, and he never said it. Still, should it matter who said something that's right? Does the fact that Pound was half crazy mean he didn't know anything about poetry? Come on, man. Can we borrow ourselves into prosperity? Spenders who borrow to spend often argue that their spending is not spending. It's an investment. You know, life is facilitated now so it can be productive later. That's what you think when you're at the grocery store, right? You think, this yogurt is an investment. This vinegar is going to be a real moneymaker. This milk, oh my God, this milk is gold. Right, me too. We shop to avoid being hungry. Only if we squint ourselves into a migraine can we see that as an investment. What if those who borrow and call it an investment are wrong? What if borrowing to spend on basics, on staples, on housing, and all of the recurring costs of life, what if borrowing to spend on all of that and more is not an investment? What if it's just borrowing and spending? Or, as we have taken to doing lately, printing and spending, with no return in every sense of the phrase, no return. We cannot go back and unspend. There is no dividend, only interest. We will never return to the conditions where we could grow and profit sufficiently to pay back what was borrowed. Is your brain spinning now, getting into that well-peopled rut wherein you try to decide if I voted Trump or Biden? Come on, human! This insanity has been going on without fail or flag since Nixon. It's endemic, it's pandemic, it's cataclysmic. The masks that it requires are the masks of innocence, compassion, and stupidity, or short-sighted mockery of the fundamental principle uttered by someone else, not the tall, skinny, ugly man. We cannot borrow our way into prosperity. So, what do we do? First challenge, get off the worry train about who voted for whom. Realize this sickness has dissolved party lines and do the simple, clear, right thing. Make do with the record tax revenue that the federal government is collecting today. Make do. What we all do. Make do. Sure, easy enough to say for a privileged man who doesn't worry right now about a roof or food. There you go again, avoiding the argument for the sake of the point.
Hell, you crazy.
I'm John Modaff.
Support for MSPR comes from the Ruth Hunt Candy Company, celebrating 100 years of business in 2021. Ruth Hunt's long-term success is proven by using fine ingredients and traditional methods in making their confections. Ruth Hunt is Kentucky proud with traditional candies, Woodford Reserve bourbon balls, and Blue Mondays, sweetening the distance between you and your loved ones. Ruth Hunt Candies in Mount Sterling, Lexington, and anytime online at ruthhuntcandy.com.
It's 60 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Hallie Adams and Shamari Mosley. And we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in the historic Breckenridge Hall. Cassidy Stearman has a look at sports coming up, but first I want to say thank you. We're so glad you can spend time with us on this spooky Friday afternoon.
Morehead State Soccer is in Nashville preparing for the opening round of the Ohio Valley Conference Tournament tonight. For WMKY Sports, I'm Cassidy Stearman. The Morehead State University soccer team is making their return to the Ohio Valley Conference this evening. The Eagles are entering the tournament as the number 6 seed after finishing conference play with a 2-4-2 record. The Eagles, who began the season by going 2-5-2 in a non-conference play, finished 4-9-4 overall. Head coach Warren Lipka says facing SEMO again this evening will sort of be like looking in a mirror.
Well, they changed their system probably about 3 or 4 games ago, and
it's proved well for them. And, you know, we're just watching video now and going back out into the field. You know, they're a team that's kind of similar to us. Very hardworking, you know, physical team. They haven't put up a lot of goals this year, but they're very good defensively.
In their prior matchup with SEMO, the Eagles dominated the pace of place, holding the Red Hawks only 3 shots all game. But despite a 10-3 shot advantage and a 10-0 corner kick advantage, the Eagles couldn't get one past SEMO, resulting in the draw. Game time in Nashville tonight is set for 7 o'clock. Morehead State Volleyball continues its season-long 5-match homestand this weekend as the SIUE Cougars visit Johnson Arena. Morehead State enters this weekend on an OVC best 10-match winning streak, while SIUE has lost 5 straight, including a setback that allowed Eastern Illinois its first conference win this week. Associate head coach Kristen Becker McBride says keeping the streak going has been difficult as the returning conference champs.
We definitely have the target on our back from last year, but at the same time, we're not currently number one in conference, and so we are a little bit come from behind right now because we have we're 1 game back on Austin Peay. And so in a way, we have that target on our back from last year, but in that same way, we're fighting to try and get to the top right now.
MSU is now tied for the top spot in the OVC after their victory against Tennessee Tech Wednesday. Morehead State and Austin Peay both hold records of 10-2 in the conference. The Eagles will play SIUE tonight at 6, then again tomorrow morning at 11. The regular season wraps up for the Rowan County Senior High School football team this evening. The Vikings are looking to extend their win streak to 4 games as they take on Montgomery County at home. Rowan head coach Kelly Ford says it's a bittersweet night for the team. This week has served as a send-off for their team's 11 seniors.
We'll do some things for the seniors every day this week to kind of send them off on a good note, and we hope the atmosphere gets really good and people come out and support them, and you know, we just gotta fly around. I mean, the guys has gotta have fun. I mean, this is gonna be their last regular season game in their career, so they've paid the price to get our program to where it's at today.
Kickoff at Rowan County Senior High School tonight is set for 7:30. Tomorrow's football matchup at Jane Stadium will be a battle of the unbeatens. Morehead State's 4-0 stature at the Pioneer Football League is the first time since 2002, and only the second time ever to start 4-0 in the PFL after beginning play in the conference in 2001. MSU's current 4-game winning streak is the first 4-game success streak since 2005, and just the third time since joining the PFL that the Eagles have put together at least a 4-game streak. Davidson has won 2 straight in the series, but the Eagles still lead all-time matchups. Head coach Rob Tenure says his guys have had this game circled on the calendar since falling to the team in the spring 24-21, and they'll have to fight from start to finish.
I'm excited that we're there. I think our guys are excited to be playing at home. We're playing a very good football team. You know, they're very unique in what they do. They run triple option football. So this week, defensively, it's about assignment football. It's about discipline. And that's our essential this week. You know, we said that we really need to be a disciplined team this week, and we're going to have to play really hard.
Kickoff in Morehead tomorrow afternoon is set for 2 o'clock. A member of the Morehead State University cross-country team has been making some major improvements this season. 8 MSU runners to compete in the elite field at the Florida State Invitational and Pre-Nationals in Tallahassee, Florida, earlier this month. The event saw teams from all over the country, since the course will serve as this year's NCAA Division I championship meet at the end of November. Freshman Justin Bland finished 143rd in the event. When asked how he dropped nearly a minute and a half off his previous best time this season, he said it was a matter of strategy.
My goal also going in was to really attack mile 4, because that's where I had kind of fallen off in the previous races. So I really wanted to attack that, and that was one of my main focuses on the race. And then the finish of the race was pretty downhill, so I just kind of wanted to use that and just attack the finish and let the downhill take me.
MSU finished 24th with 621 points. The Eagles bested some high-profile schools such as Florida International, Rice, Troy, and Florida Atlantic. 32 teams with a total of 267 runners were entered in the open division. And that's a check of sports for WMKY. I'm Cassidy Stearman.
Bud Luke has a look at the stock report right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop, promoting literacy and reading in the MSPR listening area since 1978. Coffee Tree Books, where books are ordered every day and special orders can be accommodated, featuring a variety of gifts, locally made crafts, education materials, and yarn shop. A community bookstore located at 159 East Main Street in Moorhead. Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop are open Monday through Saturday, online, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. The U.S. stock market set another round of record highs as Wall Street looked past disappointing results from major companies to wrap up its best month of the year. And at the close, the Dow Industrials showed a gain of 0.25% at 35,819.56. The S&P 500 was up 0.2% at 4605.38. And the NASDAQ Composite was up 0.3%, despite weakness from Amazon and Apple, finishing at 15,498.39. And all three of those major averages finished at record closing highs today. And as mentioned, Amazon shares weak today, down more than 2% after the e-commerce giant badly missed earnings and revenue expectations for the third quarter. Apple was down almost 2% after the tech giant's quarterly revenue fell short of expectations amid larger than expected supply constraints on iPhones, iPads, and Macs. And it was the first time Apple's revenues have missed Wall Street estimates since May 2017. On the flip side, though, Microsoft was up more than 2%, surpassing Apple as the largest listed company in the world by market cap. Nike and Intel also had solid days to help boost the Dow average. Shares of ExxonMobil and Chevron both rose strongly after the energy giants topped earnings expectations. Starbucks was under pressure, on the other hand, after revenue from China missed expectations. And, of course, all three of the major averages posted their fourth positive week in a row and are up solidly for the month, with the NASDAQ gaining more than 7%. The S&P 500 was up 6.9%, and the Dow showed a gain of 5.8%. And market sentiment was also helped by developments in Washington. On Thursday, President Biden announced a framework for a $1.75 trillion social spending deal. The agreement, which is expected to make it easier to pass the separate infrastructure spending bill currently stalled on Capitol Hill, came in lighter on spending and taxes than earlier proposals. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was App Harvest up 7 cents at 602, AEP unchanged at 84.71, CSX down 7 cents at 36.17, Dollar General up 60 cents at 221.52, Marathon Petroleum down 74 cents at 65.93, and Fifth Third Bank was down 49 cents to finish at 43.53. Reporting from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird, this is Bud Luke.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Tanner Boyd, Paul Hitchcock, Greg Jenkins, Wiley Tanner, Keneally Roberts, Sarah Mead, Alyssa White, Cassidy Stearman, Ethan Jenkins, Devin Bartley, and Shamari Mosley. Our feature segment this afternoon was from commentator Dr. John Modaff. A special thanks to the Robert Baird Company's Bud Luke. Our theme music is composed and performed by Allison Brown. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY, Moorhead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Cassidy Stearman and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5:30.